You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are Talking
While Married.
Ron, I am really excited to have somebody join us that I just think the world of. I went about a year ago now to a meeting in Las Vegas, and I had the opportunity to listen to this man speak, and it's really life-changing. I want to introduce you and our audience to Brian Moran, the author of The 12-Week Year. And why is that important? The 12-Week Year is a book that he wrote that talks about how to get things done in your life, and who doesn't need that? Brian, welcome.
Thanks. Thanks, Linda. Thanks for having me.
Well, a year ago, I had the opportunity to see you and hear you speak. And I'm one of those people that tends to wait till the last minute to do things and get them done. And as we set our goals in life, what you taught me, Brian, was about setting goals. And are they really goals? I mean, are they really things that action can happen around? Or is it just a wish list? Or you know, you can, I know that you can explain it better than I can. But the other thing that it taught me is by setting our goals and making a list to get them accomplished, an action list, in 12 weeks. So make your year 12 weeks instead of a year. That's so much easier for me to kind of digest and make those goals and have that end time be so much sooner, because I'm one of those people that, and I always use the same example, that if I want to lose 20 pounds this year, I'm going to probably start, if I make my commitment in January, I'll probably start sometime in December trying to lose that 20 pounds. Yes. So, I mean, and most people, I think, do the same thing, that it's too long, it's too far away. So in business, the same situation. When I think about for my company, when I think about how I want to set goals for salespeople and I want to give them, you know, targets to meet for the year, it's so far out that they figure that they have time and they don't need to worry about that target till, you know, the second half of the year. And that doesn't really accomplish what I want to get accomplished in business. So I would love you to explain the 12-week year, how you thought of it, how you started it, and, you know, how powerful it can be in people's lives.
Yeah, happy to. You know, it came about because we were working with our clients on really this notion of executing. And when I say we, my business partner, Michael Lennington, and I, he co-authored the book. But, you know, we had been working with clients on really how to improve performance and figured out pretty early on that they all had great ideas, that they all had access to resources. And yet that's what most people were searching for, whether it be an individual in their personal life or whether it be an entire organization, right? They were looking for kind of the next idea, the next technique. And we realized that, man, if they just executed on what they already know, right? I would argue that if people just implemented what they already know more effectively, more consistently, right, they'd have better health, they'd have better relationships, they'd make a lot more money. And so we started working with the fundamentals that drive execution and high performance, but we were still doing it in the annual environment because that's just the way everybody did it. No one had ever questioned that, right? We set annual goals. We built annual plans. We broke them down quarterly and monthly and weekly. And honestly, we got good results, but we really didn't get what we felt our clients were capable of and what we were capable of in our business. And so we came across this concept, an athletic training process called periodization. Periodization. It's a weird word. And it was a training technique developed in the 70s, started in Eastern Europe with Olympic athletes to create breakthrough performance. And it works so well that it's used in most sports. But one of our clients was into cycling, and the U.S. Postal team was talking about how they utilized periodization. And Michael and I saw that. We said, you know what, that has applicability for what we're doing with our clients in our own business. And so we took that and we started to work with it and adapt it to move beyond athletics to really work in a business setting and a personal setting. And that's where the 12-week year was born, because, you know, when January rolls around, everybody's fired up, right? Everybody tells you, everybody's ready for their best year ever. I like to joke, no one ever says this year's really going to suck, right? Never in January. Because, you know, December looks a long way off and you just got, it feels like you've got all this time. And so in that annual environment, even if you're a public company and you report quarterly, you know, quarter is a fourth of a whole. So it's still this annual environment where this mindset is that, look, if we don't hit the number this month, we can catch up. And if we haven't hit it by first quarter, we can catch up. And that was the mindset that we found, you know, individuals and entire organizations leaving capacity on the table, that you might catch up and hit the goal, but you can't go, you know, recoup that capacity that you left on the table last week, last month, last quarter. And so that's where we took periodization and the 12-week year was born. And so our clients, our business as well, we operate in the context of every 12 weeks as a year. And by the way, there aren't four of those in the year. that's annualized thinking. There's just this 12-week year followed by the next. And what happens in that is it really changes the way you think about your business and your goals, right? There's a hard line in the sand now where you're going to measure your success or failure. And 12 weeks is a long enough time to make profound progress, but yet near enough where you don't lose the sense of urgency, right? There's this healthy sense of urgency, not the stressed out stuff that people feel in maybe November, but a healthy sense of urgency. And so that's really how this whole concept came about.
You know, Brian, one of the things that you talked about that I really took away from listening was, you know, that when we make a goal, it's not always a goal. We're not always making the right kinds of goals. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, you bet. I think, you know, one of the things that when we work with clients, we're really clear on the difference between goals and tactics in a plan. And, I did a workshop yesterday and I don't know, 400 or 500 people. And I asked them a question, you know, what do we have greater control over, our actions or our outcomes? And how would you guys answer that?
Actions.
Right. Right.
You don't have any control of the other.
Right? Well, exactly. You do by your actions though, right?
Well, yeah. But, so yeah. You don't control it. You influence it.
Okay.
Right. And so that's, and but it's, but what will happen is people will set goals that are actions, not outcomes.
Yes. And I found myself doing the same thing. And you taught me the difference, which is such a little thing, but it's really a big thing.
It is a big thing because let's take an example, right? Oftentimes I'll ask people when we're doing trainings, I'll say, okay, what's the problem if I set a goal to work out 4 times a week? And people will say, well, it's not measurable, blah, 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 blah. The real problem with it though, is that it's not a goal, it's an action. And it's not tied to anything more aspirational. So 3 weeks in, guess what? It becomes drudgery and I bail on it. And I've yet to meet someone that their goal is to work out. It's really to lose weight, to lower blood pressure, to increase energy, something like that. And if I don't get that relationship right, then it becomes really difficult to create a plan and sustain the execution. So that's the first step, is understanding the difference between outcomes and actions, goals and tactics. And then making sure that when we set goals, they're actual outcomes, because that's the aspirational portion of what we're after. And without that, you know, it's easy to lose the motivation along the way, even in a 12-week year, right? Even in a shorter execution cycle, if you're not connected to that why and that aspirational portion of it, it's really difficult to day in and day out do the heavy lifting.
Brian, as we're sitting here and you're talking, I can see a light bulb going on in Ron's head over here. So I just want to let you know.
Yeah. And you know, Brian, I personally want to thank you for giving the speech that Linda went to, because I've been suffering from it ever since.
You're welcome.
She came home and said, I want you to get a notebook out and let me tell you all the things you're doing wrong.
Yeah. You're welcome for that, Ron.
You have lots of actions to take. It does work, because what you're saying is so simple, yet so many of us miss it in life.
Well, it's not the way we've been taught. You know, I run into people that say they've been taught never set a goal you can't control. Well, that's bunk. That's what a goal is. It's an outcome. You don't control it. As Ron pointed out, you control it to some degree, or Linda, you said it, by your actions, right? You influence it through your actions, but you don't control it. And so right. I think some of what we've been taught gets in the way of us really accomplishing. And the annual environment does too, right? I mean, setting annual goals, you'll do better than no goals. Absolutely. But there are barriers in that annual environment with this illusion of lots of time. It's easy to put things off. It's hard to build the momentum. And if you're having a tough year, man, you're grinding it out for so much of the year. I mean, we work with a lot of large companies that, you know, if in a difficult year by September, they've sort of thrown in the towel and they're talking about next year. And we're like, hold on, you know, that's a year and a half away in periodizationville, if you will, yeah. Right?
You know, Brian, I don't know if you're going to get to this right now, but I do want to throw something out because this is, you know, all kidding aside, this is a serious problem that I have with my business, and that's procrastination. Because what happens in my business is that I'm given, you know, a goal. In other words, you know, when I do forensic investigations, there's a date. Okay. So there is a date that a particular legal document is due or an investigation needs to be completed by. And especially now with COVID, they keep moving it down the line and moving it down the line and everything. How do I, and by the way, that problem just with the business extends over into my personal life, meaning that I'm supposed to do something and I keep putting it off. So what do you do with people that have what I think is a serious problem and it needs to be resolved? How do you help people like me?
Yeah, a couple things. One, it never exists just in a vacuum, right? If you tend to do that at work, guess what? You're probably doing it at home too, because those are just the habits that you have and the tendencies that you have. And, you know, one thing I would say is to not stress over that. Some people perform their best at the 11th hour, and that may be you.
And that is, that happens to be me. Because, okay. I mean, I always accomplish everything that I'm supposed to accomplish, and my clients love the work. But I'll tell you what, and Linda's the first one to tell you, it's very stressful, and I can bring that stress home.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, one is I wouldn't necessarily make yourself wrong about that, if you know what I mean. But there's ways you can kind of get some things done earlier, and then you put the final touches on at the 11th hour. And I think the 12-week year, the process facilitates that, because what happens is we build a plan in the 12-week year is we really get granular at the tactic level. In other words, most plans are conceptual, Ron. They're directional. Like if you're in sales, it's cross-sell, it's referrals. You can't execute that stuff. You've got to get where the statements in the plan describe an action you can take. And so in your case or anybody's case, you would spell out all the actions that are required to get that done, to accomplish the goal. And as we look at a goal, you know, we're not looking for you to necessarily put everything in the plan. We talk about the critical few, right? So we're not overwhelmed. So we refer to a tactic as just an action where the goal is the outcome. The tactics are the actions. So a 12-week plan is a very simple structure. There's a goal and there's a set of tactics. But the tactics is where 12-week year departs pretty dramatically from traditional planning in that it's very granular. So it literally spells out the action I have to take. So rather than the plan saying, you know, referrals, if I was in sales or get more referrals, it would say, ask for referrals 3 times a day, right? So there's no question about what I'm supposed to do. And then as we map that out, one, you see the magnitude of the work, because when you plan conceptually, it masks all the work involved. The second thing is you now know what matters most for the next 12 weeks, which is really, really important because it means everything else is sort of secondary. And then you can know weekly then what's due. So that 12-week plan transfers to a weekly plan, and how you win the week is getting that stuff done. And so what you could do is you could procrastinate all week and Friday at 3 o'clock, knock that stuff out and you've got week one done. You won the week. And so that by the time you've got to deliver, things are done. So, you know, we talk about winning the day, but candidly, days can blow up Even weeks can blow up. But if you win the week and you do that enough, you're going to be where you want to be in 12 weeks. So
yeah, because you're not going to win every day and you're not going to win every week. But with this plan, you're going to win that 12 weeks.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so for true procrastinators, right, having clarity around really what matters on a weekly basis. And then the other thing that there's a technique we talk about separates starting from finishing. And so let me give you a couple examples of that, because I think this is really powerful for anybody who's puts things off or is looking at a task that they see daunting. So maybe my house is a disaster, right? And the notion of cleaning my house is hanging over my head, but it's such a big job. So the way we separate starting from finishing is we say, look, I'm going to go stand in this room for 20 minutes and I'm going to do some picking up. However much I get done, I get done. I'm not going to try and clean the whole house. I'm not necessarily even going to commit to clean the whole room. I'm just going to go clean the room, for pick up some stuff for 20 minutes. Right, I'm having trouble getting on the treadmill. I'm just going to commit to go stand on the treadmill for 15 minutes. You know what? Something good's probably going to happen, but I'm not really thinking about all the workouts I got to do in the next 12 weeks or anything else. All I'm committing to is starting, which is I'm going to go down. I've got writer's block, right? Let's say you got writer's block and the thought of writing this book is daunting or this chapter. Okay, I'm going to write for an hour. If I write a sentence, or I write a chapter, that's okay.
Yeah, I'm just going as a writer, and I've got a new series out. As a writer, I try to dedicate myself to at least writing one page a day. That's all, okay, yeah. In my day. Write just one page. Put something down on paper, and that's my goal for the day. Put something down on paper.
Yeah, there you go. And this would even simplify that, which is there's not even pressure to write a page or whatever. It's just to write something, right? And what happens is when you get started, guess what? The juices start flowing and usually there's greater output than what you expected.
Yes.
And now it makes sitting down the next day a little easier.
I want to extrapolate that to two different situations. One would be for companies, for businesses. So in my business, what I tell my salespeople, my customer service people, based on what I learned from you, is you sit down and you're going to take 30 minutes and you are going to call or explore or find as many, you know, leads as you can find and make as many contacts as you can. Now, like you just said, they have to sit there for that 30 minutes and that's what they're dedicated to. And it's just amazing once they pick up that phone the first time, because so many people in business have call reluctance. It's hard to pick up the phone and talk to strangers for many people. And, you know, once they get that first call out of the way, man, they're just rocking and rolling. And I love that concept because they don't have to sit there all day. They don't have to do it, you know, every day, but there are certain times and that's what you're going to do. And once they start doing it, it's great. So any business can use those tactics because people tend to put off things. And, it, you know, on the personal note, what you had talked about that struck me was what you just said about the treadmill. Okay. You know, I'm going to work out 30 minutes on the treadmill every day. Well, go stand there. And even if I'm not motivated, I know I'm going to stand there. Well, of course you're going to end up turning it on. I mean, that's just what you do, but the commitment is to get on that treadmill, and whether you turn it on or not, you're going to get on that treadmill and there you go. I mean, you're not going to stand there. I'm not going to stand there and do nothing. It's kind of boring. So, you know, so something does happen, and that's what I love about it, because just making a commitment to get on that treadmill makes a big difference. So, I mean, I just think that these things are so powerful, Brian. They're so simple. And, you know, it seems almost like a no-brainer, but it's not. We all put things off and we all do the things that you say. We make things that are not outcomes, and that's kind of self-defeating. So to learn the difference is a big deal. And, you know, after you and I had our last conversation together, we did talk about, say, people writing books. Okay, so I'm going to write a page a day. I'm going to sit down at 7 o'clock every morning and I'm going to write one. Well, not even write. As you just said, not even write. I'm going to sit down with my book and I'm going to, you know, get my pen in my hand and, you know, just be there and be present. And like you say, the juices start flowing. But also you had mentioned when I saw you in the meeting, you had mentioned things like, what are the things that you could do to start getting things done? If I want to lose weight and I set my goal or my outcome as I want to lose in those 12 weeks, I want to lose 10 pounds. What are the things I need to do? And then I write down everything that could help me lose weight. And then I narrow those things down. Can you talk about that process a little bit?
Yeah, I think that's a powerful process. We use a mind mapping process, which is just a way to brainstorm and think about everything you could do to accomplish the goal. So in this case, everything we could do to lose weight, from doing cardio to weightlifting, to finding a buddy, to joining a gym, to surgery. I mean, everything ends up out there and you give it some time so that, you know, otherwise what happens is typically plans are built almost in an outline or linear fashion, step one, step two, step three, step four. And not that there's anything wrong with that, but typically what comes out is top of mind and it's predictable. With a mind map, you know, you get beyond that and you wait and you let it ruminate. And if you've got a couple other people in the process too, this works really great with teams, is that you'll see a third wave and a fourth wave and a fifth wave. And sometimes there's some real gold in those latter ideas. We just did this yesterday. We've got a new book coming out that we're working on, and we did it with the title of the book. And, you know, the first 15, 16 things that came out were kind of like, but then after that, we started to get some really good stuff. If we were doing it with a goal, then what we would do is then we would, once we felt like we exhausted that, then we'd go back and pick the critical few, right? We're not going to try and do all of that. We're going to pick the critical few. And typically what's out are concepts as well. They're not tactics yet. So for everything you circle, there's probably a series of actions associated with it. And that's where we really start to narrow it down so that there's focus and you're able to really create a plan that, you know, kind of the 80-20, that what's in the plan is the 20% of the actions that are really going to drive the accomplishment.
So when you teach these classes for business, and you teach them how to use the 12-week year, primarily, what types of businesses? Is it any type of business? Or what are the things that people are learning or asking of Brian Moran to teach them to make their businesses prosper?
You know, we've been blessed in that we've worked in just about every industry. We've been global for quite some time. Our new claim, you're going to love this, Ron, is we're intergalactical. There's a company that is preparing to go to asteroids and mine them for precious metals, and they use the 12-week year. So we got that claim going for us as well.
Of course.
Yeah. It's a cool concept. But you know, in the work environment, the majority of our clients use the 12-week year in their personal life as well as their business life. So whether we're working with a financial services rep or whether we're working in a travel industry or whatever it may be, you know, each individual has an opportunity to use it however they want on the personal side. And sometimes you see the results come on a little easier, because if you take the example that we've been using about losing weight, you know, I don't need a bunch of other people to get on board. For me, that's more in my direct control versus a business goal where I've got to put my value prop out there. I got to get people to buy into it and customers to say yes and things like that. You know, so sometimes people will experience the benefits of the 12-week year on the personal side a little quicker than they do on the business side.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with you, but I think you can use both, because I heard you on the business side, although you talked about personal as well. I immediately took it into my personal life, but on the business side, say for people in sales, you know, again, we tend to procrastinate, or we tend to not have a plan, or have a plan that's too long, and we've got to make some goals to make enough money to live on. And that's for each salesperson, and that's also for the company as a whole. So that's a very powerful plan, because I know many people in business, Brian, that have used your method and greatly increased their sales. And on a personal note, it is much easier to see, because, you know, just the plan of sitting down and saying, here's the outcome that I want, which, again, I can't say enough, it seems so simple, but I often was using tactics as outcomes, and that's not what I should have been doing. So now I understand the difference, which makes a difference in my life. And I don't give myself the luxury of having a whole year to have that outcome. I give myself the luxury of having 12 weeks to get that outcome. And it's just so much more effective in life, because you accomplish so much more by the end of that calendar year than you would have if you just had those goals set out there. And each time you can keep, you know, kind of moving the goalposts for yourself and making yourself better and better. It's just an amazing thought, and it's something anybody can do, which is what I love about it.
You know, our claim to fame, our tagline, is to accomplish more in 12 weeks than most do in 12 months. And that came about because we have literally thousands of clients that have done that and that are doing that. And it's not about taking everything you do in 12 months and cramming it into 12 weeks. It's really about that focus and consistency on the things that matter most. Not about being perfect, just being more consistent with it. And early on, no big deal, but it acts like compound interest. And in a very short period of time, you know, the impact on the results is profound.
You know, Brian, I like the part where you took the question. So that was great. I had written down a question about how do you apply, you know, you're talking about reaching all industries, and then, you know, I'm thinking about personal relationships. So I'm really appreciative of the fact that you brought that out. Because some of our friends and followers are not in business, you know, they're not in industry, they're not CEOs, but they all have relationships. And especially now with all of our paradigm changes, you know, in the country, I think it's important that people be able to look at something where they can work on their relationship. You know, Linda and I have always had a wonderful relationship. And but when the whole COVID thing hit, you know, we're looking at ourselves and saying, oh man, what are we going to do? And actually spending even more time together, because you're dealing with two people with their hair on fire. And, you know, we're traveling crisscrossing the country, and sometimes we get to do it together. But it was really interesting to see us meld together and do things in our relationship that we hadn't necessarily had a lot of time to do, like cooking together.
Yeah, that's, I love that. That's fun.
And Brian, one of the things that we've talked about in the past has been using the 12-week year in relationships. And I'd love you to mention that for a few minutes, because it really works so well. And, you know, when we talked about it before, in fact, your lovely wife, who is one of our ladies on the Ladies of Liberty as well, she mentioned that, you know, you have used that yourself and taught us some ways in which we can better our relationships, all of us, by using the 12-week year. And Brian, I'd like you to talk about all of what I just asked you and give you a few minutes to think about it, and we'll come right back.
This is Dr. Ron Martinelli, co-host of Talking While Married. If you enjoy a good fiction detective thriller series with accurate true life investigative techniques and a contemporary Western theme, I hope that you'll try out my new series, Wade Justice, Texas Ranger. The first two books of a multi-book series are already out to great reviews, Absolute Justice and Justice for All. Join retired Texas Ranger Wade Justice as he hunts down a serial killer in Nashville in Absolute Justice, and then follow him through the dark streets of Florence, Italy, as he tracks international terrorists who are plotting to kill the Italian president and murder thousands of Italians in the fast-paced and exciting sequel, Justice for All. My Wade Justice series is available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and on Apple, with personalized and autographed books available on our special website, wadejustice.com. That's WADEJUSTUS.com. Get your copies today.
Now, never before in our history have we witnessed the level of hatred that is now being waged against our law enforcement. While anarchist groups create havoc and overwhelm our first responders, these same groups and their corporate supporters are calling for the police forces to be shrunk and defunded. What can you and I do to make a difference? How can we stand up for what is right and to show our support? That's what I'm going to tell you about this incredible new platform. It's called ShopToTheRight.com. And it's a new shopping platform that will help you find businesses that align with your values. They feature products made in America. They support veteran-owned businesses, as well as our law enforcement community. This is a time when we need to stick together. We need to shop together, and we need to support each other. It's time for you and I to make some noise and stand up to protect our country. And one easy way to do that is to shop and give our money to companies that don't seek to destroy our way of life. So join the fight for liberty. ShopToTheRight.com. Support those American businesses that support law enforcement and veterans.
AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Fighting every day against the cancel culture that wants to silence and erase us. 5 years on the air, and we will not be silenced. America Out Loud Talk Radio. It's a fight for the soul of humanity.
Back. We all have a fresh cup of coffee and maybe some wine. And I want to reintroduce our guest tonight, who is Brian Moran, the author of The 12-Week Year. And this book can change your life. I just can't say enough about it. So Brian, welcome back. Before we left, I asked you some questions about how this program, how The 12-Week Year can help in your personal relationships.
Yeah, you know, Judy and I, my wife, we use it to better our relationship. We use it to improve our relationship with our kids and other important relationships. You know, as you were talking about, we were talking about goals earlier and outcomes. You know, one of the keys there, and it's a little more challenging, but you have to think about what do you want different in the relationship, right? If we talk about goals as outcomes and tactics as actions, then the tendency for a lot of people is to set like a goal of date night. And for us, when we do date night, you know, our marriage is just better. It sort of brings everything else along in its wake. But that's really not the goal. The goal isn't date night. The goal is to improve the relationship. And so how do you know that it's better, right? How do you know that date night's contributing to it? What would be the measure of a better marriage, a better relationship 12 weeks from now? And the thought that goes into that is really what's important, because if you can't define where there is, you can't build a plan. And so then you're guessing that date night's going to help. I like the joke, you know, date night could actually hurt my marriage. In my case, I pray that it is a joke. But the point is that, you know, what do I want different in my marriage and how will I know it? And then is date night one of the actions that'll contribute to it or not? Similar with the kids, right? One of my missions as a father, and I was blessed to have a mom and dad who were very involved with us kids and valued us kids, saw us as gifts, not inconveniences. And so, you know, part of my mission as a father is to be the biggest influence in my kids' life. And that means quantity time, not just quality time, right? I think quality time is BS. It's an excuse to recreate. And I had 15 minutes of quality time. Well, you know, you never get beyond the surface with that. It's when you're hanging out with your kids for hours that they start to share what's really going on and stuff. Mm-hmm. So
I love that.
That's really true.
So right.
Yeah. And so, you know, the goal is, if I want to be the number one influence, what does that look like, right? And what are some of the things we can do to do that? We have a cottage. One of the big reasons we have that cottage is, it's a cottage on the lake in Lake Michigan, is to create family memories. And my oldest daughter's up there right now with some girlfriends. I mean, they love it. And so we've created family identity. We create memories through that. We do things like that, but all clear on the goal is to be the number one influence, right? I don't want it to be their friends. I certainly don't want it to be their professors at college, or some TV show they're watching. And so, you know, we build activities every 12 weeks based on that. And for Judy and I, it's the same thing to have a strong marriage. You know, that one of the ways we try and get at that is we just do a simple 1 to 10, how you feeling about our marriage? And wherever it's at, you know, we're looking to try and improve it by doing certain things. And it ebbs and flows. I mean, to be honest with you, right? Oddly enough, though, Ron, she usually scores it lower than I do. I don't know why that is, but it happens every time we score it like that.
Yeah, women, go figure.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
One of the things that Judy had said about date night, which really was a good point, was, you know, that you don't want to go to date night and sit and talk to each other and you're talking about all the problems with the kids or that the drain is broken in the kitchen or, you know, those types of things. You want date night to be a date night and you want to enjoy it. And so just making that date night is not enough. It's kind of setting some parameters around it, I think.
Yeah, I agree. And we're often trying to think about new experiences for the two of us. Because that, you know, when you think about the infatuation stage of a relationship, which is really kind of magical and you only get it once, but it's magical, I think, because you're learning so much about each other. You're finding out you like similar things and the things where you have differences aren't issues. They're really interesting, right? So we try and create new experiences too for us as a couple so that we can continue to learn about each other and experience some things together. And I think that really helps.
You know, I have to say, then I'll let you talk, Ron, because this was hilarious. I have to tell people that Brian's wife is a hoot. She's just one of the best people. And I guess that she wanted a spa, and correct me if I'm wrong, she wanted a spa and you didn't want a spa. So what she did is she went and got a blow-up spa, and I saw a picture and it was absolutely amazing. It looked so fun and so cool. I showed it to Ron. I said, we're going to get one of these. This is like the greatest thing. So when you talk about new adventures, I mean, that had to be just a really fun evening.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I really like about our relationship, and I think it keeps our relationship fresh, is the spontaneity between Linda and I. I mean, from the moment right after we met, I don't think I've ever said no to anything that you wanted to do, Linda, as far as
very spoiled, you know,
go travel, go do this or that. And that's what keeps us fresh. You know, for instance, when we love to travel internationally, we do stuff like that. And when COVID disallowed that, Linda came up with the idea, well, we've got an RV, let's jump in the RV and let's go to these different places that we've never been before. So we are very much involved in experiencing, you know, the great state of Texas. So yeah, the spontaneity really helps out in keeping the relationship fresh.
Yeah, I agree. I think anything you can do to create some new experiences, like you said, travel, sometimes it's just, you know, we love good food. Judy's an amazing cook, but it's really fun for us if we can find a restaurant where there's a table in the kitchen or something like that, because then we're right in the action and it doesn't happen all the time. And just little things like that make the relationship fun.
Yeah. And I think that people can really use the information in the 12-week year to better not just their business life, but their personal life in so many different ways, because you can take anything from the things we've talked about to, you know, getting more fit, living a healthier life, having a better marriage or a better relationship with your kids or your family or your in-laws or whoever it might be. It's really unlimited what you can do if you understand the concepts of how to get from here to there. And I think, Brian, that for a lot of people, that's the missing link, is how to get from here to there. And that was what was missing for me, even though, you know, I mean, I've been fairly well accomplished in my life. There's always things I could do better. And I think that your book brought those things home for me.
You know, Brian, author to author, I want to ask you, with this, it's an absolutely amazing book and an amazing accomplishment. What, after you had completed this book and it was published and it became so well known, what is the thing that surprised you that you did not anticipate that a gift that you received through the publication of this book that you had not anticipated, or something that surprised you?
Boy, Ryan, that's a really good question. There's a number of things. You know, one of the things is what we're doing right now. It's these podcasts that I've been invited on. You know, our mission here is to change lives. That's what we're all about. And I never had done many podcasts. I did keynotes. I did that kind of stuff. But, you know, I think about the reach we have and the influence we have through people like yourself that have invited me on to just talk about the 12-week year and the impact it can have. That was never even on the radar. And yet, in a sense, I've met thousands and thousands of people that way. And so that when I look back, that's an amazing thing to me. We're now in 13 languages, and you know, I've gotten invites from around the world, and it's just been incredible.
That's wonderful to hear about the success that you've achieved in this book, and I'm very envious of that.
Ron, I got to tell you a story from author to author again, right?
And I think
the stats are more than 80% of Americans want to write a book. I don't know about the rest of the world, but America. And so this book came about because Michael and I were headed to a conference. We were going to be a vendor. And we were thinking about, you know, what shiny stuff do we hand out? And I'd been thinking about writing a book. I talked to some ghost authors, didn't like that process. And Price Pritchard, I don't know if you know that name. He's from Texas, but he used to put out these little pamphlet books. And they were really short, but they were really good. And so I remember pulling one off the shelf and I said to Michael, let's just write something like this, right? Let's just document what we've been doing and how it's been working. And so we wrote the precursor to the 12-week year. It was called Periodization, 12 Weeks to Breakthrough. And we wrote it in 12 weeks. We went down to Kinko's, and the big gamble was, do we print 50? Do we print 100? We didn't want to bring any back, right? So we gambled. We print 100 of them, took them to the show. I think we sold them at $10 each. And literally from that, in the next 12 months, we sold 100,000 copies of that book. It changed
That's
our,
amazing.
It changed our business, changed our, and it happened in 12 weeks. We wrote the thing in 12 weeks.
But you knew how to set yourself up to do that, which is what is so important and which anybody can gain from reading your book. And it's, you know, listen, I have no dog in the fight to sell your book. I heard you speak, and it made me change some things in myself. And anybody who can make Linda Martinelli change anything in herself is pretty darn powerful. So ask my husband.
Oh, here.
For business again, because I think most of what you do is in your business is business to business. Am I right?
It is. Absolutely.
If people are listening now, Brian, what types of businesses can really gain from, you know, reading the 12-week year, from having one of your, now because of COVID, you're doing a lot of your training on Zoom. Is that right?
It is. Yeah. We've stepped up the game there, and I invested and really upgraded the studio so that the training we're doing, like the one I did yesterday, is way more than, you know, slides in a talking head. I've created multiple cameras. I've got a professional producer who produces the show, moves between slides and me and slides and just me. Got a video wall, and it's actually, I think it's as good or better experience than in person, because we can do a few things this way that we couldn't in an in-person event. But we're doing a lot of that now, everything from keynotes to half-day workshops.
And I have to say that I have heard in my sales career, in you know, owning a business for so many years, I've heard so many speakers. You are one of the best that I've ever heard. I mean, you're engaging. I didn't fall asleep. I have a pretty short attention span a lot of times, and I don't like sitting through a long talk, but you were very engaging. And so I really enjoyed that. Can you tell people how to get a hold of you? How to get the book, how to get a hold of Brian Moran if they're interested in a corporate type seminar?
Sure. Twist my arm, right? But first, thank you for those comments, those kind words. That's very kind of you. So 12weekyear.com is where you can find us. And we have everything from, you know, the book to a planner to software and online programs, all the way up to one-on-one, you know, coaching and teamwork and things like that. So 12weekyear, just there's a contact us button there. Just reach out, tell us what you're interested in, and we can talk further. But if we can help in any way, I'd love to do that.
You know, Brian, your book is on Kindle, and I have, it's on Amazon, but you can also get it on Kindle, and I have Kindle. So for people who have Kindle, you can actually just download that Kindle app on your phone for free as well. And you can read any books that you have on your Kindle right on your phone. So I have the 12-week year on my phone all the time. And I love it because I can look up something, you know, well, what about this or what about that? And even though I've pretty well got it ingrained in my brain, there's sometimes that I need a refresher. So I can carry it with me all the time. So anybody can do that as well. And I would like to say thank you so much for spending some time with us today and having a cup of coffee. It's just such a simple but important lesson that people can learn. And I think it's well worth checking it out, taking a look, buying the book, and, you know, seeing how we can all improve our life. I use it personally more than professionally. I do use it professionally, but personally, I just find that there's so many ways that I can use this plan. And as a procrastinator, it makes a big difference. And not just being a procrastinator, but understanding how to set goals and how to map out, as you said, I think that was part of the language that you use in your book, how to map out how to get from here to there in those 12 weeks, and then you start over from the next point. And I just love it.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting. It's been such a fascinating conversation, and I hope our friends and our followers and listeners, you know, that aren't listening to us this evening will certainly pick up and listen to this podcast, you know, again and again. But for you to get Linda to admit that she is a procrastinator, when I have never seen Linda as that, to me, that's an amazing thing. And it's worth all the money that we paid to bring you on here.
There you go. Awesome.
You know, it's not that I'm a procrastinator, but I am one of those people like Ron is that. If I have a contract to do or something, I'm better doing it kind of at the last minute. I just perform better that way, but it is stressful. But it's other things and other ways that we can use. In fact, I did come home, truth be told, after your meeting, and I in the car, which is always where I have Ron as a captive audience, you know.
Yeah.
He can't go anywhere. I said, you know, how do you see our marriage on a 1 to 10? And you know, it's funny because it was something that you had talked about, and I said, you know, I don't need the answers now because I wouldn't do that to him. But I said, I kind of set up the plan and the conversation. And that was a conversation that we had, you know, regarding our marriage, you know, how do we see it? And whatever it is, if it's a 9.5, how do we make it a 10? Those kinds of things. And I think it's just so important because we can all be a little bit better.
Yeah, I agree. Brian, we'd like to thank you so much for spending this very valuable time with us today on Talking While Married. And I'd like to extend an invitation for you to come back, and we can continue this what I think is just a wonderful conversation where everybody can take something, you know, and use it immediately.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'd love to do that. Thanks so much for having me. It's been fun.
Brian, give that website one more time, or your contact information one more time for us.
12weekyear.com. So the digits 12weekyear.com.
Got it.
Thanks so much. Well, you know, Linda, one of the cool things about having our coffee conversations is every once in a while, we get a unique opportunity to have somebody come in and have some coffee with us, who is like a guru. Okay. And Brian is certainly that with regards to, you know, organization skills.
Well, he is, and he does wonderful things for businesses across the country. I mean, really, really wonderful results of exceeding the expectations of his clients. And, you know, I was very impressed when I met him a year ago, and then COVID came in between and nobody could get out. And I've always had in mind that, you know, we wanted to talk to him because you didn't get to see him like I did. And when I'm impressed with somebody that much, it's kind of a big deal because I'm not real easily impressed. I've seen so many speakers, and he has such a simple program to offer. And like I said, and we said in the conversation, you can use this in your business. I don't care if you're a Fortune 500 company. I don't care if you are a two-person company. You can use these methods to better your business. And then on a personal note, you can use this method to better yourself, your relationships, your health, whatever goals that you have in life, you can make better, because we all, as human nature dictates, have the tendency to put things off until the last minute. And by using the 12-week year program, you can accomplish so much more. One thing that we did not talk about, Ron, is that when you go on the 12weekyear.com, they have workbooks. And in those workbooks, it will walk you through as little or as much as you want to take on with how to make this program work for you. And, you know, it's very simple. Like I said, I have it on Kindle. I have it on my phone. I can get a refresher anytime I want. And, you know, it's a valuable program.
Well, you know, one of the things that I found was fascinating about this, being an old crusty athlete from many, many, many years ago, and certainly not one now, but the concepts from the 12-week year were actually developed by athleticism, right? Through the athletics community. Mm-hmm. You know, in my day, before Christ was a corporal, we talked about visualization, right? And so you visualize doing something, you know, making a basket, hitting a home run, doing this, throwing a punch, you know, running a 100-yard dash. You visualize that, and you visualize yourself victorious doing whatever you're doing. And that was the concept then. But with the periodization as a training technique, which is the new athletic basis, boy, I was just fascinated on how many things that this methodology, because that's really what it is. It's an organizational methodology. How many communities and how many tasks this thing is appropriate to.
You know, and I love what Brian said about using the methodologies here to do something that you're overwhelmed with. So he used the example of your house has a disaster right now. It's gone to heck, you know, in a handbasket here. And everything is very messy. People who have lots of kids around the house during COVID time can certainly understand this. Take 20 minutes. Just you go in one room and say, I'm going to dedicate 20 minutes. And whatever I get done, I get done. That takes so much pressure off people's shoulders. And I love that. I mean, these things are so simple, but they're not things that we think about, because we tend to think about the whole picture, right? The whole house is a mess. Okay, just take care of one piece at a time.
You know, that really resonated with me, you know, and so I'm thinking that tomorrow we get into our closet.
For 20 minutes, right?
But there'll be two of us. Okay. But there'll be two of us. And so we can actually knock that down. But
we have to move on to the garage.
Yeah. But, you know, and while we were, you know, getting a cup of coffee, you know, ready for Brian, you know, I was talking to him on an aside because we both write. And you know, and I was saying, man, I could see how this thing can absolutely apply to people that want to be authors. And, you know, and it was interesting what he said to me. He said, you know, there was a study or a survey or something that 80% of everybody in the United States wants to write a book, you know. So I just said, fine. And he said, you know, he's working with somebody. I think he's working with a publisher to develop a whole series of things that that you can apply the 12-week year to. Yeah. And it was funny because when he was talking to me, I visualized, you know, those books called Something for Dummies, Something for Dummies,
oh, yeah.
Something for Dummies.
Yeah.
And that's what I thought, you know, Something for Dummies. Okay. So writing for dummies.
Well, Dr. Ron and Linda don't very often give our endorsement of anything or anybody. We're not here to do commercials, but I'm so impressed with what changes in your life you can make by using this methodology that I wanted to talk to Brian. It's common sense. You can hear that he's a common sense guy and it's a common sense program. It works in business. I know many people who use it. And it works in your personal life. So it's one more tool in your toolbox of life to get things done and get where you want to be.
No, exactly. And having read the book, you know, I still managed while we were talking together and having coffee, I had my little notebook out like I always do. And I managed to write, you know, 2 pages of notes. So, I mean, even after, you know, refreshing, there's still more information. And he said some things that went beyond the book, you know, during our conversation. So I was really appreciative of that.
Well, I'm going to give people something to do in less than 12 weeks, Ron. So in less than 12 weeks, start your program of listening to America Out Loud every day and get in the habit of getting some news there each and every day. Why? Because we're not the mainstream media. America Out Loud is coming up on their 5-year anniversary. I mean, this has been a success story like no other. And the people that participate in talk shows, in writing articles on this network are the real deal. They are people that are patriots. They are people that have the best interests of our country at heart. And it's a place where you can get real information rather than the spin from the social media that you get. You can catch us on Talking While Married every weeknight, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can also catch me on Ladies of Liberty every weekday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, which is a great show. If you haven't had an opportunity to listen to it, it's a hoot.
And don't forget, you know, if you miss a show from time to time, we have The Cloud on America Out Loud. Get up there 24/7, 2-3 o'clock in the morning. You can't sleep. You want to listen to a fascinating, informative program. Just get up there on the pod. You can listen to Talking While Married or any of the Ladies of Liberty or any of the other marvelous talk shows on America Out Loud. If you miss one of our shows on Talking While Married, don't forget, or any of the other shows, Ladies of Liberty, any of the other marvelous shows on the network, you can always get up into the America Out Loud podcasts, which are available to everybody 24/7. So 2-3 o'clock in the morning, you're having a fitful night, you can't sleep, you want to listen to something informative or fascinating, just get up into that cloud on America Out Loud.